Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Is the wisdom of God evident in the new translations? Now, the conflict over modern versions continues to rage. Who is winning? Who is losing? Well, it does matter because of what these versions teach. But whether one wins or loses, doing and standing for the right is what matters. Many faithful brethren have heard about these things because they've been taught. Many do not know, and some will not know because they just go along and do not care. They prefer to accept them rather than investigate. They're the kind of people who eat whatever is placed before them without question. Contrary to the contention of some, this is not simply a matter of opinion. Now, it may well be a matter of opinion which reliable version you defend, but not all of them are reliable. Even the advocates of modern versions will admit this. It is not simply a matter of updating of words and removing archaic words. None contend that there is no truth, even in the worst of them. Nobody I ever know has said that you're going to hell if you even read them. That has been charged, but that's false. The issue, rather, is truth versus error. Commentary or paraphrase versus thus saith the Lord. Is the Bible verbally inspired, or is thought inspiration just as good? I've never known the advocates of modern versions who seem to understand and acknowledge the real issue involved. They just simply don't deal with it. They prefer something new. So the question of our title is very appropriate. It's right on target in defining the real issue. Is the wisdom of God evident in the new translations? Now in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, as well as 2 Peter 1:20-21, and also in 1 Corinthians 2:13, and other passages, they contend that the Scriptures are God-breathed, that they are verbally inspired, that they are authoritative and all-sufficient, that they are infallible and inerrant, and the wisdom of God is revealed in the Scriptures. Now, we must understand the importance of words, friend. A word is a sign of a thought. By itself, when spoken, it may be just a sound. By itself, when it is written, it may be only a mark. But it relates, it conveys, it communicates what's in the mind of one and given to another. Words define, they specify, they refer to precise thoughts. Words have meaning. We're not permitted to give words just any meaning we wish. God has chosen words to reveal His will, and which words will accomplish that. In Matthew 4:4, as well as Luke 4:4, Jesus, quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, the NIV omits, by the way, "but by every word of God." Acts 11:14 shows instruction to be given to Cornelius by the use of words. Acts 2:40, deity spoke through the apostles using words. 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul said the apostles spoke the wisdom of God as they spoke words. Now, this being true, men are not permitted to tamper with the Word of God. 2 John 9, Galatians 1:6-9, Revelation 22:18-19, many other passages in both Old and New Testaments prohibit man from tampering with the Word of God. The question is not whether the Bible reveals the wisdom of God. It does. But do the modern versions reveal His wisdom? Shall we just set aside pertinent matters regarding them that provoke our concern? The so-called translators express intentions to give the thought of the word as they think it. Shall we rely on men's thoughts about what God's word has to say rather than what God's word does say and learn it for ourselves? Many compilers of these so-called versions, friend, they're modernists, they're denominationalists, some of them even atheists, who deny the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures. We have to be concerned about their attitude toward the Bible not being real, the Word of God not being what it claims to be. There is constant revision necessary from addition to addition, ever changing the words that vitally affect the thought. Now such demands the questioning of modern versions as you read them. Unbelievers could produce a reliable version if they would accurately translate without the injection of their bias. But now have they done so? Do they respect the word as the word claimed for itself? Just what have they done? Reuben Shelley once said that as you read the King James Version, the American Standard Version, the Revised Standard Version, and the New International Version, you're reading the very words of God. I ask you, friend, how could that be, since they don't say the same thing? They don't teach the same thing, even in equivalent words. They do not teach the same doctrines in places. Such a comment is unwarranted from a self-professed scholar. It would be refreshing. It would be a display of concern for truth when proponents of the modern version cease making impossible statements. Some denominationalists have shown more concern in defending the integrity of the Bible, and some of our so-called parroting preachers, the scholarly professors, the college presidents, the big-time promoters, the go-alongers. Let's consider some of these modern versions just very briefly, and that's about all that we can do. This Good News for Modern Man, called the Today's English Version. In Romans 1:17, it teaches faith only. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, it removes the phrase fallen from grace. It replaces it with outside God's grace. Friend, we're never outside God's grace. We can fall from grace that they've taken away. We may be outside the benefits of His grace. Is this what God really said? What we find in the TEV? Definitely not. And take the Living Bible. In Isaiah 2:2-4, it's a gross mutilation of the passage. Genesis 6 and verse 4 has sexual relationship between women and evil spirits. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 has our salvation before baptism. Why, this answers the question of our topic. God's wisdom is not to be found in the so-called Living Bible. And look at the New English Bible. Luke 23:45 changes a miracle into just a natural phenomenon and a coincidence. Matthew 16:18 makes Peter the foundation rock of the church. Luke 1 and verse 27 removes the word virgin to a mere girl. Is this a reliable presentation of the wisdom of God? Do you know the difference between Saturday and the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7? Well, you wouldn't if you read the New English Bible. And what about this easy-to-read version? It's been produced by digressive and liberal former members of the church, and they still claim to be. In Matthew 5 and verse 18, it's mishandled to contradict Ephesians 2 and verse 15. And nearly all the modern versions do the same thing with these passages. In Matthew 19 and verse 18, it consoles premillennialism. Matthew 17:15 equates epilepsy with demon possession. It changes the Lord's word until 70 times to 77 times. And since this lesson was first presented many years ago, Brother Goebel Music has written a masterful exposure of this heretical publication. And you look at the Revised Standard Version. One of our prominent brothers wrote that we ought to accept it, or time will make fools of us. Well, time did make fools of some, especially those who defended the RSV. On what basis was changed the word virgin to simply be a young woman in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, or remove the word begotten from only begotten, as we find in the New Testament? You see, friend, such passages were composed by a militant anti-Christian Jewish rabbi. And the RSV deliberately uses pronouns of thee and thou to denote deity, but it uses the pronouns you and yours to talk about Christ. Oh, the list on the RSV, like the others, is so extensive, these will suffice to show they're not reliable. And what of the New International Version? The favorite of most liberal digressives who've gone out from us. Psalm 51:5 teaches total depravity and that one is born guilty of sin. Ephesians 4 and verse 13 is talking about miraculous gifts, And it has it that they will continue until there's unity in the faith. Well, that's not what it says. The scripture says, the unity of the faith. Quite a big difference. In Romans 1 and verse 17, it teaches faith only. Ephesians adds make music in its rendition of this passages. Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19:9, it changes fornication to simply marital infidelity. Why, there are many ways to be unfaithful in marriage without fornication. But fornication is the only reason God allows divorce. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, it changes burned up to merely laid bare. How many times must a virgin be shown to be a twisted perversion before honest minds accept the inescapable conclusion it is an unreliable virgin? And even though some scoff and they tamper with the Word of God, and they realize that it is sinful, they do it anyway. Modern versions, friend, mislead souls, equating commentaries and paraphrases as if that were all right, as inspired scripture. You see, these modern versions come from the concept of what is called thought inspiration, and they contain contradictions within themselves and contradictions with the truth, and they teach false doctrines. I ask you, does that matter? Well, it does to those who love the truth. Modern versions lead the way to many of our present digressions. And as bad as some of these modern perversions are, the methods that promoters use to advance them is vicious. They will misrepresent the older and reliable versions. They'll slander and ridicule those who defend the older and reliable versions. They snobbishly ignore the problems that their new versions create. They appear to be neutral while all the time they're promoting the perversions. They create straw men of their own inventions that they readily destroy. They take the insidious low road of combat. And when you do not stand for the truth, friend, this approach seems to be the expedient method to advocate what you want. Those who are endorsing the modern perversions play down the proven dangers. They do not serve well the cause of Christ, nor give credibility or faithfulness to the integrity of the Word of God. There should not be, knowingly, any endorsement, any going-along-ism with men, women, schools, professors, editors, preachers, elderships, churches, lectureships that place their approval on the destruction of truth that's now being accomplished through these so-called modern versions. Now, this may well put you in a small company of the churches of Christ, as one said. But who counts noses when it comes to determining truth? Truth is not determined by college and seminary-trained clergymen who are no more concerned with truth, but more concerned with their academic standing and social acceptance. I do not doubt the opponents of modern versions are in a minority, although I do not know that for sure. But what of it? More and more are becoming aware, and many books and lectures are dealing with this matter, and it's a matter that's now several years old. And many have finally decided to join the fight on the side of the truth. With continued awareness and honest investigation, possibly this plague of distortion of the Word of God can be minimized and even neutralized among brethren. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.